Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf chavav. We're holding the second line from the top of the Omid where the Gemara begins. The Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avuha. Since Rav Nachman's memra is going to be challenged momentarily from our Mishnah, we might as well just go over the Mishnah briefly once again to remind us of the sugya. So going back to the Mishnah on Chof Hei Omid Beis, the beginning of the Mishnah, we talked about Temed. As you recall, Rashi learns temen means a person took grape seeds and he soaked them in water so that they should eventually turn into wine. That the water should turn into wine. It's not going to be AAA wine. It's going to be somewhat of an inferior wine. But nevertheless, that's what temen is. So the Mishnah says, Ad shalei hechmetz, until it becomes fermented, it's basically glorified water. And since it's just water, ain't a nikah bekesa mice. If a person has master sheni funds and he's going to Yerushalayim and he can only use those funds to go and buy food and drink. Drink does not include water. Water you can get from the tap. David will tell you the best water is tap water. Okay. The Zuktan to the Mishnah, ain't a nikah bekesa mice. At this point, before fermentation, you cannot use master sheni money in Yerushalayim to buy this temet. Moreover, upoisel es hamikvah, since it has the status of mayim she'uvim, not mayim chayim, it parcels the mikvah. However, mishehechmetz means now it's become fermented. It's no longer water, now it has the status of wine. The nika bekesem meiser, then you can buy it with kesem meiser because it's no different than any other wine that you're buying. You can buy a bottle of wine in Yerushalayim with master sheni money. Now, in a poisel es hamikvah, what means in a poisel es hamikvah? As you know, a mikveh has to have a minimum of 40 so'ah of megishamim. What happens if it has only 39.5 or whatever, something less than 40? Then make sure that you fill it up with continued mayim chayim, not mayim she'uvim. Because even have a little bit of mayim she'uvim, that passels the mikveh. That's all because you haven't gotten to 40 so. Once you hit 40 so and above, then you can add as much mayim she'uvim as you want, and it does not passel the mikveh. The mikveh is fine. So over here we have a situation where you have, for instance, it's less than 40 so. It's missing 3 lugin, and most of those lugin are okay water, mayim chayim, but in the 3 lugin, you have a kartov. Kartov is a very, very small amount. It's 1/64th of a loig, very, very, very small. And that 1/64th is this temed business. If it's mishehechmetz, once it's already fermented, then has the status of wine. And wine, although wine cannot go and be mashlim the mikveh, as Brother Shai pointed out yesterday, but it doesn't passel the mikveh. And so therefore, just because you've added some wine, the mikveh is still kosher. However, it's not fully kosher in the sense you still have to be mashlim it to the 40 so of mayim megishamim. However, the fact that there's a little wine does not passel it. Just keep on adding megishamim and it'll be a kosher mikveh. Good, so the important halach is we're distinguishing between temed pre-fermentation and post-fermentation. And when we're saying pre-fermentation has a status like water, and you cannot go and use maaser sheni money, as well as, since it's mayim she'uvim, it passels the mikvah. So now that we have that, good, yeah, 1 second. Okay.
If it's good for the mikvah,
exactly.
It will be post.
Exactly. Okay, it's after, you tell us later.
Yeah.
Okay, later on.
So now after the color.
So now we're up to Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Ravua. Rav Nachman told us a gewaldige chiddush. What does he say? Temed shel kochoy b'maser, kesem maser, you bought temed in Yerushalayim with master sheni money, and at that point it was not fermented yet. So just basically glorified water. Water which is soaking in grape seeds, but it's not wine yet. And then after he bought it, he waited for a week, for a month, and then after that period of time, hey, mazel tov, it has fermented now, and now you taste it. Really, it tastes like real wine. Givaldik. Says, Reb Nachman, kana meiser. the Meiser Sheni was Nikna. It was an effective sale. Even though we said in our Mishnah, you're not supposed to use Kesa Meiser to go and buy it. But if you did, and now it's a month later, and Baruch Hashem, this wine has fermented, the water is fermented, then Kona Meiser, the Meiser now is Nikna, Limafreya, retroactively. Why? My timer, because it's Gloy Milz Limafreya the Beiruhu. It shows you retroactively that already at the time of the original purchase, it had the potential of becoming wine, and so therefore it was already in the process of becoming wine. Rashi says that the fact that afterwards it fermented, it shows that at the time that you put the chatzanim, the grape seeds, in the water, they already contained the potential of converting this water into wine. But of course, it takes time, but you see that time works. Not only does it heal all wounds, but it also creates fermented wine from water. So already the time that you bought the temet, even though it wasn't fermented yet, it was a successful sale. If you're wondering what difference does it make, you're saying kona meisa, loy kona meisa. So Rashi says very simply, the person who sold the temet, when he originally received the money, since he was selling water instead of selling wine, that water at the moment retained, the moicher retained the kedusha of the Meiser Sheni money, and the Meiser Sheni money did not transfer, the kedusha of the Meiser Sheni money did not transfer to the water, because water at that time was really not a qualified item to buy with this Meiser Sheni money. So then, at the time of the original sale, the mocher has in his pocket Meiser Sheni money. What should he do with that Meiser Sheni money? He can only use it here in Yerushalayim, like everybody else, to go and buy food items in Yerushalayim. However, once it becomes fermented, iskloy lemafreya, that this was a good sale of wine for the Meiser Sheni. So then this Meiser Sheni money's Kedusha transferred now to the wine, and now the Meiser Sheni money became like regular chulin money, so that the mocher can take that money and eat it even outside Yerushalayim. Or for that matter, he can go and buy with it whatever he likes. He can pay the rent. He can go and buy a gemara with it, buy other items. If you look at Rashi, Kona Meiser, fifth line from the top, sixth line, Kona Meiser. Umisha Moiz Biyode, that's the mocher who is holding on to the monies that were used to buy the temet. Yochlo Ochli Chutz Yerushalayim. Now he can go and use it anywhere he wants. Umishin is Chalu Ale Temet, because finally that Kedusha of the Meiser Sheni money has now transferred to the temet. The Iloyach Mitz, if in fact it would not ferment, Hab Hanach Moiz Kaim Biktushu Sayu Biyara Moicher, then these monies would permanently be Meiser Sheni monies in his hands, and he could only use it like anybody else with Meiser Sheni money in Yerushalayim to go and buy food. Says Rashi, Gloy Milza. Since now it's fermented, it's now retroactively clear to Bishas Likich at the time that he actually bought that temet originally, that already then it was paid to have. The Nichlis Behem Koyicha Chatzanim, that the potential of the chatzanim, of the grape seeds, was already entering into the water, but we were still in the middle, like the goyl mekelim we had yesterday. We didn't finish it yet. But now it's a good chilul. If there wasn't any residue of wine within the grape seeds, then it never would have fermented, even after a year. The fact that it eventually fermented, it shows you that there was grape wine hidden within those seeds, and now it's finally sprouted and finally blossomed and finally mixed together with the water. So it's Gloy Milz Lemafreya that this was a good sale all along. So this is the dinner of Nachman. Yes?
So unlike the Romans that say
Kavanah, everything go up to the color.
Here we're saying the seller has to be the highest, that he becomes, the temet becomes wine, otherwise he's money.
Or he shouldn't be selling the temet to Meiser Sheni people. Anybody that wants to go and buy, there should be a big sign in the store. Temet is only purchasable with chulin money. The fact that he allowed the Meiser Sheni money to be paid to him, so he has that achrayis that it should become fermented. And if it becomes fermented, Baruch Hashem, I took the money, no problem, and it the Kedusha transferred. But in fact, if it doesn't, we'll see in a moment, it'll be problematic.
Also Kalbon, it's different.
Kalbon is not for today.
I know,
well,
I
later
know,
on, we'll talk about the Kalbon.
No, before.
I know, that was yesterday.
The important thing is also, if little milk will fail, but the color will be like water, it's still be kosher.
Oh, that's, we'll talk about the milk in a moment. Good.
We go up
to the color. Good. I'm glad you said that. We're going to get to that in a moment. And now that we have Rav Nachman, our Mishnah Shver, why is our Mishnah Shver? The Masis in Diktoni, Hechmitz in Loi Hechmitz Loi. Why did it say in our Mishnah that if it was the Val, actually Hechmitz in a Nika Bekesa Meiser, why? We should go and see what happens eventually. If this Temet, which has not been Machmitz yet, eventually becomes fermented, so then a quinter of Nachman, this was an excellent sale. Why does it say Enenika Bekesa Maiser Freitimara? Ishavke Zoktimara El Masid Niktoni Hechmetz in Le Hechmetz Loi. Why does it say that in Enenika Bekesa Maiser Dumi Ishavke, if he would wait a little bit of patience, have a Machmetz, it would have been fermented and it would have been a good sale after all? Now, the Gemara L'Choyer is a bissel schwer on the surface because nobody has Ruach HaKoydish. Nobody knows for sure that it's going to ferment. Rashi says, even though Al Pirov, generally, normally, the grape seeds will allow the water to ferment, but it's not a guarantee. So therefore, L'Choyer, you can learn the Pasha de Mishnah, Ein Nika Bekesa Meiser. Don't go and play the lottery over here and play your chances, figuring, it'll probably become wine at the end, and therefore I'm going to go and give Pesach a Meiser. The Mishnah said, no, ain't a nikach until we know for sure. Don't spend Maser Sheni money on it, because maybe it'll turn out that it'll just be unfermented water. So what is the Gemara's kashin? So Rashi says that the Loshon HaMishnah sounds like even B'dieved ain't a nikach. It could have said in the Mishnah, HaTemet actually Hechmetz ain't loichin B'Bes a Meiser. Don't buy the temed we kiss the mice because you don't know what's going to happen with it. And a nikach sounds like even subsequently when it becomes clearly fermented, it's still ain't a nikach. The kesem meiser transaction was not effective, was not valid. Why wasn't it valid? Because at the time of the sale, it was still water. But Rav Nachman says, don't look at the general appearance and the taste of this water. What you have to do is look for the future. Go and see what's going to happen with this water. This water, in all likelihood, will ferment. So why do we say in Enika Bekesa Meiser? Yes.
Do we have in maybe Yavamos, like in case you're lo bala olam,
right,
that it didn't come into fruition, so we can't count it? Is that kind of similar?
Mm-hmm.
Is that similar?
Not Davish lo bala olam.
So that's a very, very good point. So if you have something which is totally ain a bala olam, that it's not even fake. For instance, I have grape seeds, which I intend putting in the ground for grapes to grow, the grapes, the val, are not here. With a little bit of water, a lot of mazel, a lot of siyata deshmaya, a lot of work in cultivating the kerem, eventually there will hopefully be grapes. But in the meantime, it's avshal balal. The Gemara says, what happens if you have a tree which has already, let's say, an apple tree, just as an example, and you see the apples starting to bud? And Baruch Hashem, this apple tree has produced apples for the last 20 years. Once they're starting to come out, then the Gemara said it would no longer be a davar shalei bala olam because it's already present. It's taka small, but you already can go and sell that based on the fact that it's already in existence. Here too, the water and the grape seeds are already in existence. You need the fermentation, no question. But Rashi says, al pi roiv, most grape seeds soaking in water will ferment. So you can... Mm-hmm. Rashi apparently holds that's enough to be a davar shebal olam and not just a pipe dream of something that may come in the future.
It doesn't need any action, it just needs time. It's just mechuser zman.
Good. Excellent. So,
are you sure? I heard it through the grapevine.
You heard it through the grapevine. Oh, beautiful. Anyway, and if you had not heard it, then you would probably have a lot of sour grapes. That's why didn't somebody tell you. Good. So zok to Yomara, elamasi diktoni hechmet in lehechmet loy. Dilmi Shavke have a machmitz. Why did it say in the Mishnah? Einoi nikach bekesa meiser. That's how Rashi learns. Tosis learns a little bit differently. Tosis says that I don't really understand Rashi's pshat, and I don't understand the Gemara's pshat. Of course, at the moment, if it's still water, the fact that there is potential that it's going to become wine, mazel tov, but l'maisa now, ain't a nika, but kesa maisa, don't use your kesa maisa to buy based on a wish and conjecture and hopeful thinking and logic that it will become wine. At the moment, it's not wine. Rather, Tosi says that the kash of the Gemara is on the second halacha of the Mishnah, that it's poisel es ha-mikveh, that according to Rav Nachman, since this water has the potential to become wine, so it becomes like a suffix. Based on a suffix, we should not passel the mikveh. So you look at the Tosis Dilma, which is shortly before the wide lines. Dilmi shavki ha b'machmetz. Lava ein nikach mikesa maise parach. That's not the kasha. The bedinu de ein nikach misafik. That makes a lot of sense, since I don't know. Yes, no, maybe so. It might become fermented. It might not become fermented. Daval, don't buy it. Ein nikach. So he freaked oysters. So what's the more discussion? A place of hamikva parach. The misalfik ain't lifsal. Can assign him to yourself. The mikva shenichu reikon. Uba mitzoy mole. When you left, it was not 40 saw. You come back, Baruch Hashem, it is 40 saw. It's kosher, it's full. And they choose safik maim shuvah the mikva. And based on such a safik, we would say that it is a kosher mikveh. So therefore, why do we say in our Mishnah automatically poisels a mikveh? Let's wait and see. Like Rav Nachman says, it has the potential of mafreya to become fermented wine. If it's wine, it's not, doesn't pass the mikveh. So the kash is really from the ein poisel and not from the ein nikah.
Let it become saw from grapes.
Exactly. Anyway, so the Gemara Omer Rabba. So Rabba gives the first teretz. Kisheshayir mimenu bekoyz v'lei hechmet. You're absolutely right. Rav Nachman is correct that every temet has the potential to become fermented wine. And that's why Rav Nachman said that if you bought a bekesa meiser and ultimately hechmet, kona meiser lemafreya, igloi milzer lemafreya, that this was wine all along, at least had the potential of wine all along.
The possibility.
So why did our Mishnah say einoi nikach? Why did the Mishnah say poisel se mikveh? Says Rabbit's talking about a case that in fact we waited for a month or we waited for 6 months. Kishayim imenu kois. Kishayim imenu, says Rashi, means that the mocher sold most of the temet, but he left behind at least a small container of water with grape seeds. Feloi hachmitz, and unfortunately it did not ferment. It was one of that 10% or 25% of the time that doesn't ferment. In such a case, Zokten Zermisha, since it never fermented, then the sale of the Master Sheni to buy this temed was never effective, einoi nikach, and therefore paisles a mikveh. The mikveh unfortunately became possible because all of it was mayim she'uvim and not megshamim or yayin. Good. So Rabbah has to make an ukimta. The Mishnah talking about that you taka tested it and loy hechmet. Rabbah Omer Rabbah says, I don't need to come on to that teret. Hamani Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Our Mishnah goes in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Who's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Now we have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah addresses a bit of what we're talking about. D'tnan gimalugin mayim chose kartav shenofel etoichem kartav yayin umareyin kimare yayim enofel mikveh loy pasluhu. We started off with a mikveh. The mikveh did not have 40 sa'a, but rather it was 39 point, and it was missing 3 lugin of mayim. If you're wondering how many lugin does that mean vis-a-vis the entire mikveh, since a mikveh has to have 40 sa'a, a sa'a has in it 24 lugin, so 40 times 24 gets you to roughly 960 lugin. 960. And this mikveh only had 957 lugin. So clearly it is not a kosher mikveh yet. It's gimel lugin mayim. And we have now 3 lugin of mayim, which are waiting on the side to be mashlim the mikveh. And they're... Exactly. Choser kartoiv. How much is a kartoiv? A kartoiv, says Rashi, is one... How much? 164th. 164th of a loy. How many kartoivim are there in a mikveh? If you multiply 960 by 64, how many are you going to go and get? It's around 60,000, because 960 is close to 1,000. So if you do 1,000 times 64, that would give you 64,000. Okay. But since we start off with 960, it's like 60, 61, 62, exactly 61 or 62,000 kartoivim in a mikveh. Okay, so these three lugan are ready, willing, and able to jump into the mikveh to be mashlimit, but they are missing one kartoiv. And what fell in to go and be mashlim these three luganamayim? Chosei kartoiv shenofel l'toichen kartoiv yayin. Oh, a kartoiv yayin, exactly that year, that 1/60th, 1/60,000th, or 1/61,000th, fell into the three lugan, and it was wine. And that wine was marein kimare yayin. Now the three lugan have the coloration of wine. V'nafel mikveh. And now this entire three lugan amayim, which had the color of wine, fell into the mikveh, loy paslu. They were not mashlim the mikveh, because it was not three lugan of mayim megishamim, but nevertheless they didn't passel it, because yayin doesn't passel a mikveh. Moreover, gimelugin mayim chose kartev shenofel toichen kartev cholav, instead of wine falling in that amount of a kartev, a drop of milk fell in. Umarein kimari mayim.
Since
exactly
we go after the color always.
Exactly. Bye-bye. Okay, one second. Let me get back to your question in a moment. Since the milk is by definition something which is very, very close to water, particularly if you buy the blue milk and not the red milk, then it's already watered down anyway. And if you get the green milk, it's 90% water anyway. Okay, that's just a separate political commentary. Umarein kimari mayim. So now if you mix it together with the water, it all looks like water. V'nafel mikveh, and it falls into the mikveh, loy paslu. So even though it didn't have the mara of yayin, it had the mara of mayim. Vayta loy paslu. Why? Because this was not a full three lugan of mayim she'uvim, but rather part of that three lugan was milk, and therefore that does not passel a mikveh. Of course, you have to go and bring in another three lugan of kosher megshamim, but it does not passel it until you bring those other, and then if you bring the other megshamim, it'll be a fine mikveh. If you don't, you'll be a tourist. Yeah.
What if you have white grapes?
White grapes, good. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, only Rabbi Yochanan says, Hakol hilach achemar. Everything has to do with the color. It makes no difference whether it was wine, whether it was milk. You have to look at the color of what fell in.
Exactly. The proportion of the wine can be little, but it gives the color of wine, because it's not so important how much is the proportion of the wine and water. The color, that makes the difference.
Exactly right. Thank you for helping us.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very good. So that's Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. The Tanna Kamma, however, does not consider chazuta, the color, to be significant. Even though Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, not Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, the Tanna Kamma, talks about Gimelugin Mayim, should not for the Toichen Korta V'yayin Umarein Kimare Yayin. However, since the second halacha, which is talking about the cholav, umarein kimari mayim, in both cases le paslu, Rashi has two pshatim. Rashi says that the ikar pshat, the second pshat, is that the color, according to Tanakama, really is lomale vilomorid. The important thing is that what fell into the mikveh now was not a full three lugin of mayim she'uvim, but it was mixed in with another mashke that does not hassel mikvois, in the Reisha Yayin, and the Sefer Mayim. Rabbi Yochanan Menuri says, I don't go after the volume, my only concern is the Mara, the appearance. If this looks like Yayin, then it will not passel it. If it looks like water, it will passel. So Rabbi Yochanan Menuri clearly argues on the Sefer of the Tanna Kamma, because the Tanna Kamma said that if it's cholav and it has a marak maramayim, loy paslu. Why loy paslu? Because I don't care about the maras as the Tanna Kamma. I just care about the fact that it was less than three lugin of mayim she'uvim. There was milk mixed in. That's enough not to pasul. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Since the mara was like mayim she'uvim, it was just like water, it does pasul after all. So Rabbi Yochanan clearly argues on the sefer. Does he agree with the reisha? He agrees with the halach of the reisha that since it's mara yayin loy paslu. But Rashi says he argues with the reisha as well, because the reisha is talking about gimelugin mayim choser kartoiv that fell in with the addition of that additional kartoiv yayin. Oh, then loy paslu. Says Rashi, that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri would hold in the Reisha, even if you start an Uf with a full Gimel Lugin Mayim Mole, not Chosek Kortav, Mole, and Nofel Letoichon Kortav Yayin. So now it's three Lugin plus, and it has the Mar of Mara Yayin, and it fell into the Mikvah, Loi Paslu, because everything goes Boser Hamara. And therefore, since the Mara of this three Lugin of Mayim She'uvim plus looks like wine, it does not passel. That's how Rashi learns.
Important. It doesn't make difference if you have the taste of wine, because it's different the taste. If you look like wine, we accept it like wine. Mm-hmm. Because it's not only the taste, because wine and water have different tastes, but we go with the color.
Yeah. So if you look at, there's a long Rashi over here, V'hochen Nami, we're not going to do the whole Rashi, but if you look at the last three lines, you see, of the Rashi says, for Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So we're looking about 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Yochanan, at the end of the line. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, now we're on the beginning of the line. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Areisha Nami Padak. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri argues in both cases. The Yasa, Lameima. The Afilu, in the Reisha case, with the Yayin. The Afilu, Shloisha Lugin, Shleimim. Not Chosakartav. Three full Lugin of Pasal Dika water. Water which is Mayim Sheuvim. However, Marein Kimari Yayin, since a kortav of Yayin fell in, and it looks like wine, loy pasli, it doesn't. But it's Mayim Sheuvim. I don't care. I go after the Mara, after the color. Ubeseifa, Avagav, the Lekash loy shalugin shleim and Mayim. Even though it doesn't have a full three lugin of Mayim. Guess what happens? It's going to be parcel. Hail the Ikamari Mayim pasli. As far as Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is concerned, I only look at appearance, I don't look at the quantities. The important thing is the mar. So now says the Gemara, getting back to our Mishnah, Lav Umr Yochanan, Bosr Chazuta Azlinam. We see Rabbi Yochanan Nuri goes after Chazuta. Chazuta means appearance. Hachanami by uns in the Mishnah too. Zil Bosr Chazuta Vetai, I'm sorry, Zil Bosr Chazuta. We also go in our Mishnah after the appearance. The time of a Chazuta Dahai Maya. Or I should really say, that means when our Mishnah starts off, Hatemet actually Hechmet, since it has not been Machmet, it is not fermented yet, not only the appearance, but the taste are all that of pure water. It's water, it looks like water, it smells like water, it tastes like water, it's water, says Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. That's why he says, Ein Nikach Bekesa, Maisu, Poisos, and Mikvah. But that's Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. That says everything busted the Mara, everything busted the Tam. You have to see, is it at this moment, what's the appearance now? I don't care what's going to be in a month from now or in a year from now. Now it has the appearance and it has the taste of water. It's water. That's why in a Nikach. Reb Nachman that we had on the top of the Yomid that says, look retroactively what happens, that later on it'll be Machmetz. You see already now it had that potential. That's going according to Tana Kama. That's not going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the now generation. I want to know what's going on now, not what's going to be in the future. So with this, we have for the kasha on Rav Nachman from our Mishnah, either with the first teretz. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where they did a test with a kois and eventually loy hechmet. Okay, so then you don't say loy milzlam afreya, or according to Rabbi, you don't have to come on to that. Rava said, there's a machloikis in Reb Nachman's halacha. The Tanakama of that Mishnah in Masechtas Mikvois holds like Reb Nachman, look at the potential, don't look at the appearance today. Reb Yechon ben Nuri says, no, I look at now, what's the situation today? If the Mara and if the Tam is that of water, it has the status of water, even though in a month from now, it will be pure wine. And now we continue on to a nochashtikl. Upliyad Reb Lozen. Now this Upliyad Reb Lozen has nothing to do with what we were just talking about for the last 20 minutes, but rather it goes back on Rav Nachman of yesterday. What was Rav Nachman of yesterday? If you go back right after the Mishnah, we said, Mani Masnis, and I'm looking now five lines from the bottom of Chof Hei Omid Beis, says the Gemara Mani Masnis, the Mishnah that we just learned, that distinguished between Koidim Shehechmet, and Mishehechmet, L'choid L'era B'yudav L'era B'ana, doesn't go according to either one. The sign we have a Braisa. Hametame V'nosin Mayim B'mida, you filled up in a large container with water together with the grape seeds. Remember, that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos, remember, learns you mix it with the sediment. Anyways, you put it up b'mida, a full gallon l'mashal. And you come back a month later, it's exactly the same mida. Nothing has changed. Says the Tana Kama, potter. Potter means you do not have to give trumas u'maisres because you don't give trumas u'maisres from water. You only give trumas u'maisres from wine. It's not wine. It's the same mida that it was before. Rav Yehuda Machayev, Rav Yehuda says, no. You have to give trumas u'maisres. Now note that that's the end of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah doesn't mention, are we talking about Kodim Shehachmitz, Uliacha Shehachmitz. See, where says Mani? Irabonon, according to Rabbanon of this Brisa, since the Brisa is silent, it appears that the Brisa is talking about Temed, both pre-fermentation and post-fermentation, that in all cases the Tana Kama holds in its bottom. So, Irabonon Afagav the Hachmitz, they're saying even after it became fermented, it still has the status of water. Our Mishnah said, no, Misha Hechmetz, once it fermented, it's wine, and you can buy it with Masa Sheni money, and it doesn't passel the mikvah. So says the Gemara, Irabon Nafgav the Hechmetz, in our Mishnah, even if it did become fermented. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chayiv, and since this price doesn't distinguish between pre or post, so it's Mashma Avagav the Loi Hechmetz, it's Mechuyiv in Trumas and Mises. But our Mishnah says no, that pre-fermentation is like water. So l'choy, the Mishnah cannot go according to either Rabbanan or Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Ravua, top of the Amit, Bishahachmitz machloikis. Even though the Brisa didn't say a word about Hachmitz Yo, Hachmitz Nisht, I have no choice. The machloikis is talking about la'achashahachmitz. It already became fermented, says the Tana Kama. I don't care. It was water. It's still water. It's still pot. You don't have to give trumas and maizes. It's not considered to be bona fide wine. At most, it's diluted grape juice. But it's not wine. It's not even what we call today grape juice. It's not like Kool-Aid. It has a little bit grape-flavored water. That's what the Tana Kama holds. Rabbi Yehuda holds out. Since it's fermented, it's real wine, and therefore it has the same status like regular wine. And so therefore, our Mishnah that distinguished before Hechmetz and L'achach Hechmetz, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, once it's Hechmetz, then it's regular wine, Nika B'kesa Maisa, in a Poisel Samikva. That's how we learned yesterday. However, Pliga de Rabbi Loza, getting back to our Gemara today, Rabbi Loza disagrees. The Rabbi Loza, Hakel Moidim, She'ein Mafrishin, Olav Mimokim Acher, Eliim Kein Hechmetz. Both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa, by the way, it's not a Braisa, it's really a Mishnah, so even though it says Desanya, it's a little bit misleading, it should say Ditnan, because the Mishnah Masechta is Maisers. But regardless, getting back to Agma, so Rabbi Loza says, the truth of the matter is, when it comes to Rabbanon and Yehuda, they have found middle ground where they agree. Hakol Moedim She'ein Mafrishin Olam Mimokim Acher. Meaning, if you have two groups of Temed, one over here, and one in your house, you're not supposed to be mafresh trumas and maisa shleim and amukif. But if you did, it's kosher. So if you had tamid over here and you had tamid somewhere else, so you would want to be mafresh one on the other, so that you can go and sell this entire barrel of tamid to someone. Do I have to take off trumas and maisa? No, I already took off. But I see the barrel is full to the brim. True. But I already took off trumas and maisa from another barrel of tamid that I have elsewhere in my Temed seller. So that's why I'm selling Temed, because I have a Temed seller. The hack of one with a C, one with a S, you understand? You cannot be mafrish on another Temed barrel until you know for sure that it's fermented. Why? Because until fermentation, it's a machloikis. Then there is a machlekes between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, so this Mishnah down below is not talking like Rav Nachman said, Bisha Hechmet, but the machlekes is talking about Koidim Shehechmet, where Rabbi Yehuda says, you're mechuyiv to go and give Chumas Amaisis. But don't give me Mokoim Acher from another Temet. Why? Because the Gemara is going to say in a moment, maybe one Temet will ferment. The other temid will not ferment, and then you're going to be mafresh mechiev ala ptur, or mepturr ala chiev. That's why you wait until after fermentation. Oh, Now it's wine. Now you can be mafresh on other temid b'mokamacha, which is also fermented because they're now both the same.
And with the cellar, it's underground cars.
Underground. So how come Moedim Shei Mafresh and Alamim Mokamacha and Kein Hechmet? Everybody, even Rabbi Yehuda, even the Rabbi Yehuda says in that Mishnah that it's chayev, fine, chayev, but only give it minei uve. In other words, from that product itself, don't give it from other temet. V'yad kan l'mechayv Rabbi Yehuda ela minei uvei. Minei uvei means from this temet itself, you can go and be mafresh. Because it doesn't make a difference. If it's water, you took off water. If it's wine, you took off wine. So either way, you're fine. Almi almaloi, but don't take it from somewhere else. Because don't wash la frusha min achiv al ptor min aptor al ha chiv. And if you take from chiv al ptor, ptor al chiv, that may mean that you didn't do a proper hafrasha. And if you didn't do a proper hafrasha, instead of giving truma, it's going to remain tevel. If you're going to remain tevel, if somebody's going to chas v'shalom eat or drink from the tevel, he's machuya misa bidei shamayim. Anyway, what do I see from this plea? Rablozer learns that the machloikis between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda is talking about pre-hechmit. And when Rabbi Yehuda says, I am mechayev trumas ha-maisers, that means minei ovei, from this temet itself. However, once it's hechmit, then even the Rabbanan would agree that you're chayev, and you go and give, then you could give from one barrel of temet on the next barrel of temet. So, Kimor, turn Rabban. Here it gets a little bit easier, by saying, ha-temet ach le-hechmit, temet before it ferments, ma-shikoi b'mayim. What is this Gemara telling us? There's a rule, Rabbi, as you know, if somebody is tame, or if a kli becomes tame, what do you do to make it tahor? You immerse it in a mikveh. Everybody knows that. You put it into the mikveh. What happens if you have a food item that became tame? I have a piece of egg, a piece of fish, a piece of meat. Yeah. Or for that matter, what happens if I have a bottle of wine, or a bottle of shemen, or of orange juice, or anything? It becomes tame. You can put it into the mikveh and toivle it 100 times, it remains tame. Because a mikveh can only be tayer odom ve-kelim, not oichlun u-mashkin. There's, however, one exception to the rule, where you can go and be metayer a liquid inside a mikveh, and that is not mitoiras tvila, but it's mitoiras hashoka, or zriya. What means hashoka or zriya? What happens if you have water? This water, unfortunately, it was touched by a nevela, by a dead sheret, or what have you, now became tamei. So what you can do is take this water, put it, the whole cup, underneath the level of the mikveh, so that a little bit of mikveh water falls into the cup. As soon as that mikveh water, hopefully it's clean, that mikveh water falls into the cup, the two unite, and there's what we call hashaka, and as a result, it becomes tohoir. But this is a special rule that only applies to water, it doesn't apply to any other liquid. So if you tried the same thing, if this was in it, it was wine, or it was in it orange juice, or apple juice, or anything like that, you can put it into the mikveh, and the water touches it, sugunish, it remains tummy. Ah, so therefore says our Gemara.
Isn't that the same thing with not water, shuving, when you make it?
Yes, that's with halach of hashoka. It's the same mechanic. That there too, it's not that mayim shuvim is tomei, but mayim shuvim is posel. So once you do hashoka by pulling out the stopper and then connecting the two, then it gets a status like mikveh water, make shum, and it's kosher. Here too, you take the tomei dikka waters, you allow it to touch the mikveh water, it's hashoka, and it becomes tar. Very, very good, Bill. Thank you for bringing that up. So therefore, again, what did Rav Nachman say on the bottom? What did the Braisa say on the bottom? Hatemen achlei hechmit, since it's not fermented yet, it's just water. Mashika mamayim. Then just let it touch the kosher tohar mikveh water, and it becomes tar. Misha mechmit, once it has become fermented, now it's wine. Ein mashika mamayim. Okay, very simple. Omer Avarova says something which is a little bit startling. He says, "Gevaldige chiddush, loishanu elishet timdoi b'mayim tohoyrim v'nitmu." When do you go and say here in the Reisha that if it was not hechmit yet, you can go and put it into the water and have the two waters unite and therefore hashaka and now becomes tohar? That when you started off the temid, you started off with mayim tohoyrim, regular, normal mayim tohoyrim, gevaldige. And then subsequently, a day later, a week later, nitma'u, it became tamei. It was still unfermented. You put it into the mikvah, the hashaka works, and it becomes tahar. However, if you started off this temid with tmeyim me'ikara, you mixed grape seeds or the sediment of wine with with tamei dika water, so it's tamei ikara, lie. You can go and put it into the mikvah water and immerse it 100 times and have the water touch 100 times, so the gunish out, but it's not going to help. And there's a pella. After all, water is water is water, and if you're telling me that water, once it touches the tar dika waters of the mikvah, I have a shock and it works, what difference does it make if we started off with mayim tahirim and it became tamei? Or if I started off with mayim tamei? Lamaisa, it's still mayim, it has not fermented yet, it touches the water, it should be fine.
When did it become tamei? I mean, water is intrinsically tahir. So, I mean, maybe it's not kosher for a mikvah, maybe it's mayim shuvim, but when did this water become tamei that it's considered tamei mi'ikara?
Okay, so how does water ever become tamei?
It's contact with the source of tumah.
Very good. So you have this cup. This cup, the vial, the mayim happens to be mayim tohirim because it came from be'er mayim tohirim. It's mayim chayim. Yeah. Mayim chayim el keli. I poured it into the keli. So therefore, it's tar. Now what happens? Unfortunately, we had one of these creeping critters running around.
You dropped dead, fell in, you fished it out, now it's tamei water. Okay.
And since it's not a kli cheres, it doesn't even have to fall in, it'll touch it from the outside. Okay. And then what status will this kli have?
The kli will be
avatama. The dead sheretz is the avatama. This will be a rishon, but rishon is metameh, toyichu, and mashkin. So the mashkin, the water is now is tamei. Yeah. Good. So now the question, when did it become tamei? Did it come tamei before I put the grape seeds in, or after I put the grape seeds in? So that's the whole discussion that Rava says. So he says that if you put the grape seeds in when it was mayim tohirim, before that dead mouse or dead reptile or whatever fell into it, one of the shmoyne shiratzim, or touched the outside of it, like you said, yes, exactly right, shkoyach. Elish tamei the mayim tohirim v'nitma'u. Now you can put it hashok in the mikveh. Perfect. Avtamei mikar, if it was originally tamei before you added the grape seeds, because you already had the dead whatever touch it from the inside or the outside, like, then hashoka won't work. Ozul Rav Gvimi Bei Kosl. Omr L'Shmaita Kami D'Ravashi. He repeated this difference that Rava made in front of Ravashi, and Ravashi started wondering, Maishna Tameim Meikara Deloi. What would be the Svara that there's a difference between Tameim and Tahirim? They're both water, and water Hashaka works. So I'll tell you what I think the Svara, says Ravashi, is. Tameim Meikara Deloi, the Amrinan, Aydi Damayi Yakiri, because water compared to the sediment, Rashi is now learning like the Tosis of yesterday that we're not talking about grape seeds that stay on the bottom, or maybe these are grape seeds which are very, very light. So the water sinks to the bottom of the kos or of the bottle or of the cask or whatever. The mayi yakiri, you have water that is heavy. Shcheine tasoi, then it's going to reside on the floor. Upeira kafi meliel, and either the sediment or the seeds are going to rise to the top. And because they're rising to the occasion, so then the hashok is not at work, because instead of mayim touching mayim, the mayim is going to be touching those peira, that sediment, or those grape seeds. And therefore, I don't have hashoka to mayim. If that's the svara of Rava, then the same svara applies even if it was originally tar. And afterwards it becomes tameh. Bottom line is, where are those seeds? Where's the sediment? At the top. So therefore, they are the ones that are merging with the main mikvah, and not the water merging with the main mikvah. So they say, halacha should be the same. So why are you telling me by Tahirim Mubsayf Nitmu that it works? Because bottom line is, it really gets the whole thing mixed up. It's not as if we have a layer of 3 inches. Exactly. Mechitzer, chatzitza, the top. The whole thing is mixed. If the whole thing is mixed, tachanam avalbali. So what difference does it make that you started off with mayim tmeyim meikara, or you start a mayim tahira meikara v'nitmu? What's the chilek? It's all exactly the same. So Rashi says, I don't understand. Rav is different, and the chayyim, it's a pella on Rava. What is the distinction? However, the top toisis says, I'll tell you what Rava's svara was. You see the top line. For Rava's halka daitach nitmu meikara bifnei atzman, since they were tamei before the grape seeds or the sediment came in, they were on their own and they became tamei. Says Rava, ain't a moil dehna shaka elipnei atzman. The halacha of hashaka of water, mixing with water, is that it was water, and now it is still water, and it mixes with the still waters of the mikveh, you have hashaka, and it becomes tahar. So if it was nitru meikara, that means even before you mixed in the seeds, it was already tamei. Shnel, go and do the hashaka then. Once you put the seeds in, it has lost its status of that pure tamei dika water. It's kind of a bit of an oxymoron. It's pure and it's tamei at the same time. But lemaisa, since at that time it was pure tamei dika water, you want to do hashaka, take the pure tamei water and mix it with the mei mikvah. Once you have something else in it, it's no longer water. It's now tamei. Therefore, you can no longer go and be matired with the benefit of hashaka. Okay. We have now finished all the halachas vis-a-vis the temet that we were learning about and whether it has the status of wine. It doesn't have the status of wine. And we go on to the next Mishnah. Just 10 seconds before we get to the next Mishnah, the second halacha in the Mishnah, which we did not focus on today, which was about that chiyuv kalboin. Kalboin, you remember, is the extra coin that you have to give every time you're giving machtzis hashekel, unless you're paying on behalf of someone else. Then you don't have to add the kalbein. And Brother Barry asked yesterday, what is the shear of the kalbein? So in fact, in the Mishnah, in Masechet Shkalim, it's Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin, says it's a machloikis between the Remeir and the Chachamim, what is the shear? Kalbein. And you're all going to be astounded because it's a fairly large coin. According to Remeir, the shear is 1/24 of a shekel. Why would it be the 1/24 of a shekel? The Mishnah says that a kalbein is the shear of a mo'ah. Mo'ah, as you recall, is the second denomination after the dinner. So you start off with a shekel. Shekel has in it 4 dinarim, and the dinner has in it 6 mo'ah. So therefore, every shekel has 24 ma'ah. Since you're talking about a machtzis shekel, machtzis shekel has 12 ma'ah.
8%.
8%. So you have to add an 8% tax, if you will, so by giving the kalbein.
Mamish
sales tax. Kalbein. But that's one mandi yamer. The other mandi yamer says, no, it's only chatzi ma'ah, not a full 8%, then it would only be 4%. Exactly. 4% of the yamer, so with a fraction. So, a machloik is what a kalbein is. Whether it happens to be a ma'a or chatzi ma'a, if it's a ma'a, then it's 1/12 of a machtzis shekel. Otherwise, according to the other man, the Amr, it's 1/24 of a machtzis shekel. And we continue our next mission. The next mission is very, very simple. Kol mokim sheish mecher ein knas, v'chol mokim sheish knas ein mecher. Now, what is this all about? We're talking about
ktana. Is the difference between ktana on arab and mech?
Beautiful. Exactly right. So as our Chushev Agast has now shared with us, we're talking about a father that has either a ketana or a nara. Ketana, as you know, means a girl up to the age of puberty, which means up to the age of bas mitzvah, to the age of 12. The Torah allows a father to go and sell his daughter as a servant, as an ivriya, until the age of 12. Once she becomes 12, she automatically goes out lachofshi chinam. She goes out for free. You don't have to ask any questions. Bas mitzvah, she's a free girl. And from that point on, the father can no longer sell her as an oma ivriya. So that's halacha of iktana, and the hilchis mecher end when she becomes a nara. Because nara means, by definition, that she sees jesaris, that she becomes bas mitzvah. What's the din of knas? Knas is, unfortunately, if somebody lived with a young lady, and in particular, the Torah refers to someone taking someone's daughter who is a nara, and lived with her either consensually or against her will. So the Torah says, "V'nasano isha sheichiv imalaviha nara chamishim kosef." You have to pay a kanas of 50 kesef. But the Torah talks about a nara, not about a ketana. And so therefore, says our Mishnah, these two in the same young lady are mutually exclusive. Kol mokim sheish mecher. If the father could sell her, which means from the age of 0 to the age of 12, not mamish 0, it's got to be at least one day. So the age of 12 is mecher, but then there's no knas, because knas only starts from nara and above, for 6 months, when she's a nara. If she's already a nara, and therefore there's a din of knas, a mecher, you can't sell anymore. So therefore, mutually exclusive. What you just said now is perfect. Again, according to Rameir. Avachom amoymen yesh knas v'mokim mecher. The Chum disagree and say that the halacha of paying knas even applies to a young girl below the age of na'ara, even if she's only 3 years old and above. Not from one day. It's got to be at least 3 years old, because from 3 years old, she's considered to be a bas bia. Are you going to ask me, but the Torah says, v'nosana isha sheikh of imal avi ha'nara chamishim kosev. Says Rashi, but don't forget, if you look in the Sefer Torah, and even in Ar Chumashim, it only shows that the word Nara is spelled Nun Ayin Resh, missing the Hay. And the Hay we add in Alts Krik Siv. We read it Nara, but it's only written Nara with a comma under the Resh, but no Hay at the end. So it's a defective Nara in a sense. What's a defective Nara? That she's only a Ktana. So therefore a Ktana also is in the same halacha of Knas. No, if yesh knas mokim mecha, then obviously that disagrees with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says komokim sheyesh knas and this knas, there's no mecher. But according to Rabban, you could have knas and mecher together by ektana from the age of 3 to the age of 12. Tesanya, ketanya bas yom mecher ad shetovi beisaris, a girl from 1 day old until she becomes bas mitzvah to saris, yesh le mecher. There's a din of mecher, omivriya, fein leknas, but the din of knas only starts after shtei saris. And in fact, mishitobi beis saris, when she becomes a bas mitzvah, achuti boger until she becomes a boigeres, which we typically say means 6 months, yesh lo knas, v'yein la mecher, divir ameir. Uh-oh, so that's mamish remeish, or remeir oimer, word for word like a mishnah. Kol mokim sheish mecher, ein knas, kol mokim sheish knas, ein mecher, our mishnah is remeir. However, the chum say, from the age of 3, not from the age of Nara, from Shtei Saris, from the age of 3, Knas in Mecherloi, certainly, if there's Knas from Mibas Gimushonim V'yem Echad, until she becomes a Nara, certainly there's a din of Mecher. So Timora, and then Avad, when the Chum said, Yesh Laknas means Ema, Af Knas Mokim Mecher. Not only is there a din of Mecher from the age of 3. For that matter, you don't have to wait till the age of 3, even from the age of 1 day. Until she becomes a Nara. For Shteitzach, there's a din of Mecher. The Chiddush is that from 3 until Boigris, not only is there a din of Mecher, there's also a din of Knas. Okay, very simple.
From 1 day until 3, there's only Knas. From 3 years old.
No, no, just where they are. You mean only mecher. Only mecher.
From 1 day until 3 years in a day is only mecher.
Correct.
From 3 years in 1 day until 12, there is knas. Is mecher continuous and knas?
Both mecher and knas.
And it continues up till 12 years and 6 months.
And knas alone.
From 12 years until 12 and a half.
So until the age of 3, there's only mecher. From 3 until 12, there's both mecher and knas. And from 12 years old until 12 and a half, there's only knas and no mecher. Exactly. Sorry, all the psukim. What is this all about? Miyun, as you know, means that you have a girl who's unfortunately a yesoma. Typically, that means that she has no father. There are also cases of Yisoma b'chaya'a, but that's not our discussion today. So you have a Yisoma, unfortunately, she has no father. The Torah empowers a father to go and marry off his daughter, even when she's a little young girl. And the Pasuk says, "Es biti nosati lo ish hazeh," he has that power to go marry her off. However, there is no father. What do you do? So we don't want this girl, unfortunately, to be an orphan running around the streets, because if she runs around, unfortunately, Shkutzim and others can harass her and violate her and cause all type of tzuris. So the Chachamim empowered a mother or an older brother to go and marry this girl off. But because this Kedushin is only Dirabbanan, it's not Min HaTorah, she has the right until she becomes Bas Mitzvah to go and be Mimma Enes. Mimma Enes means I refuse to continue living with this man. I thank you, Mommy. I thank you, older brother. You had the best of intentions of marrying me off to this young man. But what can I tell you? We do not see the same way. I'm a rightist, he's a leftist. Whatever they have differences of opinion on, and until the age of 12 years old, she can be Mimma Enes. That's a din of Miyun. Now there's a din of Chalitza. What's a din of Chalitza? If Chas Shalom, a person... Yeah? That's after age 12. Very good. So what is the din of chalitza? You have Nebuch, a young woman whose husband Nebuch passed away, and there are no children. So what do you do? She now has a zika. She has an umbilical cord connecting her to any of her brothers-in-law. And those brothers-in-law, if they want to, minatari can be miyabing. They can go and take her as a wife. Or they can go and do the process of chalitza. And they say, no, no, and as you know, the ritual of chalitza, and then she becomes free to marry anybody else besides her brothers-in-law. When does a girl have the ability to go and participate in chalitza? Only after she becomes bas mitzvah. What's the reason for that? Because it says in the pasuk by the yavam, who is also the cholet, im lo yachpoitzo ish lekaches es yavimtoi. Ish, by definition, means he has to be bar mitzvah. Now, even though we do not have a similar pasuk by isha, but we make a hekesh isha le'ish because they both participate in this process of the chalitza, and therefore, just like he's got to be bar mitzvah to effect the chalitza, she's got to be a bas mitzvah to effect the chalitza. So now, until the age of bas mitzvah, if she had a kedushin drabonan through the mother or through the brothers, she can be memayin. Once she hits bas mitzvah, no longer, she can no longer be memenis. On the other hand, if you have another young lady who is a ktana, and unfortunately her husband passed away, she cannot participate in a chalitza. When can she participate in a chalitza? Only after she becomes bas mitzvah. So again, they're mutually exclusive. What's mutually exclusive? Kamokim sheyesh miyon, which means until 12, ain't chalitza. No chalitza before 12. V'chamokim shechalitza. Where is yesh chalitza after 12? Ain't miyon. You can't be memenis any longer. Zoktimar Amr Vuna Marav, same Ravuna Marav as before. Zudvira Meir, Hamish's word for word like a mayor. Chamoimram Yesh Mian Bamakum Khalitza. Mian is beyond Bas Mitzvah. Even when she becomes a Nara, she can still be not forever, but for a short period of time. The same like we learned in the Brisim. And Mosi Habas Mima'enis, until when can she be mine? Ashi Tovish De Saris. That's our Mishnah. Until Bas Mitzvah can be mine. Not a day, not a minute after Bas Mitzvah, she can't be Menes any longer. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer at Sheyarba HaShochar Al Halovin. We're not just talking about two saris, we're talking about that there's a whole. Now, Poshipshan means a collection of saris, so that that whole area down below is black as opposed to white. Mm-hmm. However, Rashi says that the Gemara in Yevoma says, you don't mean literally that it's full of black, it just means that you have two very long hairs, shtei saris aruchois shoichvois nira kimoisha riba hashochar, because you have two long saris which dreiz a chabisel, so therefore it's covering over a large part of the area down below, and therefore that's already enough. But the point is, how long does that take? I don't know. Let's say it takes 3 months. Let's say it takes 6 months. Whatever that period is, says Rabbi Yehuda, she can still be Mima Enes. But because she's already Bas Mitzvah, she can also go and do Chalitza. So Misha can't go like according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, interestingly, Morris says, Av Chomim Oimrim. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda Marav says that Rabbi Yehuda of this price is the same as the Chachomim. So he passed, apparently would Paskin like that. Although from the Vav next to the mayor, it doesn't look like that. Robert, you have a question?
Yes, during this period of meal, is there a din of Eshes Ish, Shafai Visa Dairaisa, in case of a relationship?
No, it's only an Eshes Ish Midrabanan. And you can only give Misa Dairaisa and a Kedushin Dairaisa.
Somebody had a relationship with a young woman.
You're right.
Bishas Mion is parted from Misa.
You're talking about a young girl that was married off by the mother. If the young girl was married off by the father, it's Kedushin Dereisa. Correct. That is my understanding. I believe that that's the case. Since it's only Kedushin Rabbanan, there would not be any Misa, because by Misa, by definition, is talking about a Kedushin Dereisa.
In the case of Chalitza,
yes.
So in the case of Kohen Rabbi Yehuda,
yeah.
She can do. Why can't she do chalitza? She's still, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to physicality.
According to everybody, after bas mitzvah, you can go and do chalitza.
It's a calendar thing. It's not a physicality thing.
I'm not sure what you mean.
I mean, so what we're saying is that chalitza is dependent on her being 12 years old according to the calendar. It's not dependent on her physical condition.
Every time a boy becomes bar mitzvah, yeah, and now he's number 10 in the minyan, do you say, well, let's go and bring two Adam to make sure he has shtei saris? It's understood that if he's 13, he has shtei saris. Same thing by a girl, she's 12, you assume she has shtei saris. If you want to prove otherwise, then you have to have Adam, but the assumption is that she has shtei saris. And the Mishnah continues on, the final Mishnah by Perek. The benefit of the doubt. Yeah, very good. Shkoyach. Says the Mishnah. Chol mokim sheish tekiah ain abdola. Chol mokim sheish abdola ain tekiah. What does that mean? Tekiah is mit abdola. What's going on? So we're not talking about tekiahs on Rosh Hashanah, or even the final tekiah on Yom Kippur. And we're not talking about tekiahs on Yovel here. We're talking about the minhag in many communities in the good old days, that they would go and sound, even today, in Yerushalayim, and Bnei Brak, and even places here in New York, like in Muncie, for instance, and I'm assuming in Wilhelmsburg, and maybe even Burupak, that there are sirens on Erev Shabbos, as it gets closer and closer to Shabbos, and people should realize, Rabbosai, close your shops, Schnell, get ready for Shabbos, because Shabbos is on the way, it's almost here. What did they do in the good old days? They didn't have electric sirens. But rather, what they did was they would blow the shofar. And they used to blow the shofar multiple times. Earlier on, then later, and then finally, right before Adlokas Neiros, the people should know, stop doing malacha and get yourself into shul on time for mincha. Good. So that is the inyan of that tekiah. Now, what happens if, like we just had last week, that Yontif fell out on Friday.
Right.
So normally a regular Friday, you're blowing and blowing to get the oilam ready at Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. Now this Friday already is Yontif. Now the difference between Yontif and Shabbos, as Rashi, is not major league, because most of the malachas that are asr on Shabbos are also asr on Yontif. Yes, there's a big difference to Gabi Malachas, Oichel Nefesh, for sure. And things which are similar to that, like carrying, yes, exactly right. Yeah. Good. So now, when it attempts to be, this gentleman is a Rabbi Fond Schwer. So we're stuck with him. It's okay. It's a Schwer Amasa. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, so good. So the Mishnah says that even though it's Yontif, but since the Kedusha Shabbos is greater and the Issa Malacha of Shabbos is greater than Yontif, then you have to go and blow the shofar so that people should know, Rabbi Saitomo Shabbos, stop cooking, put your blech on, make sure that everything that you want to have cooked for Shabbos, your kugel and your children is on the blech, so that you won't have problems later, because you won't be able to go and light candles later, you won't be able to go and cook later. It's Omer Shabbos, so you have to go and blow.
In our community, we have Rabbi Blech and we have Rabbi Kugel.
Psh, wow, isn't that, you don't have a Rabbi Chulin yet, right? Give it a chance, you never know. Okay, anyway, so that's Komokim Shiesh Tekiah, meaning that even on Yontif, which falls out on Friday, there's a Tekiah. Now, what happens Matzi Yontif, which means Friday night? You come home from shul, you make Kiddush. Do you say Yaknu, who's in that Kiddush?
No.
No. We, of course, here in America, we had 2 days Yontif. But what about in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael? What happens? They only had 1 day of Yontif, not 2 days. And that's why the Lein Parshas Nasai, and they're going to be a little bit off kilter on the Parshas for the next few weeks. But that's not our discussion for today. Yeah. We or they or both, whichever. So what happens now? It's Friday night, it's no longer Yontif, and now we're making Kiddush. Should we also make Havdalah in that Kiddush Friday night? And the answer is no.
Oh.
Why not? After all, we're finishing off Yontif. The reason is because exactly right. On a regular Matzah Shabbos, you're leaving the Kodesh and you're going all the way down to the Chol. But here on Friday night, we're going from the Kedusha Kala, from Kodesh to Kodesh, but a lesser Kedusha to a higher Kedusha. So you're not being Mavdal, you're adding a greater Kedusha.
But you would go from Shabbos to Yom Kippur.
Exactly right. Beautiful. Good. Exactly. So Kol Mokim Shiesh Tekiah, because we are blowing Shofar on that Friday, which is Yontif, Ein Avdolah. As soon as Yontif is over and Shabbos is starting, no Avdolah. V'chol Mokim Shiesh Avdolah. where we do make Havdalah, when would you make Havdalah?
If Yom Tefel, Shabbos going to
If Yom Tefel fell out not on Friday, but it fell out on Sunday, which means Motzei Shabbos, right? So now this Motzei Shabbos, it's now Yom Tef, and we're making our Yom Tef Dik Kiddush. What are we going to add in the Yom Tef Dik Kiddush? We're going to make the Yak Nehuz, right? Because of the fact that now we're going down from the Heilige Shabbos to the... Exactly right. And the Kodesh for Kodesh. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. Exactly. Perfect. Perfect. What you just said now is our Mishnah. And now the Mishnah repeats what we've just discussed. We said, Kamokshit Kia in Abdullah. Kamokshit Abdullah ain't Kia. Yom Tov Shechol Yos Be'erev Shabbos, we're Toikeya, we're Toikin on Erev Shabbos. Well, they mavdilim, but Friday night we don't make Havdalah. However, if it falls out Yom Tov on Matzah Shabbos, then mavdilim, we make Yak Nehuz. In the Kiddush, we make Havdalah. We're Toikin, but we don't blow the Shofar. Why don't we blow the Shofar from Shabbos to Yom Tov?
We finished the Gemara,
so... Not yet.
Yeah, well, yes. If you want to go and you can tell everybody Mazel Tov, so far, go and try and tell everybody Mazel Tov.
Big news.
Exactly. Big tell them the good news. So, Zog the Gemara, V'loi Toikin, from Shabbos to Yom Tov, you don't have to care because you're only diminishing the Kedusha, because all of the Isurim of Shabbos were there through Shabbos, and now you're lessening the Isurim. So you don't have to go and blow Shaif and say, but it's a good news. It's going to be a little bit less... It would be like every Shabbos, before Matzah Shabbos, let's go and sound the alarms. Good news, soon that you'll be able to turn on the lights, you'll be able to go and listen to your iPhone and listen all to the very, very important media and the left-wing media. It would be fantastic. So obviously we don't need to do that. So from Shabbos to Yom Tov, we don't need to go and be Tekeya either. Now, when we do make Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, which is Kiddush Yom Tov, how do you make Havdalah? Havdalah min Kodesh l'Kodesh, like we heard already 12 times from our Choshev guest. Reb Doisa says a little differently, saying Kodesh Chomer l'Kodesh HaKal. We're leaving the Kodesh Chomer of Shabbos Kodesh, and we're going to the Kodesh HaKal of Yom Tov. As the Gemara is going to tell us, for less hilchas at Reb Doisa, we do not follow Reb Doisa, we follow the Havdalah min Kodesh l'Kodesh. Okay. Zutumahechi Tekeah. The Gemara is assuming that the Tekeah on this Yom Tov, which is Friday, has to be pshtikul shinui than your regular Tekeah that you have throughout the year. Now, throughout the year, our Gemara doesn't go into it. Rashi also doesn't go into it. However, elsewhere, the Gemara does tell us about those Tekeahs. It says that there are a series of them, and the final one is a Tarat, a Tekeah, Trua Tekeah. Here we're going to make Abyssal a difference. Heichi Tekeah, Amrav Yehuda, Tekeah Umeiria Betoich Tekeah. In other words, as the normal Tarat, I don't have to tell you on Rosh Hashanah. Tekeah, Trua, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Here, you don't make a split, but in the Tekeah itself, as the Tekeah is starting to wear down, right, it's a long Tekeah, and as beginning to wear down, then he starts, da-da-da-da-da, he's Meiria Mitoich Tekeah, without any breath in between.
No break.
Pravasi Omer Tekeah Umeiria Beneshima Achas. The Tekeah and the Trua should be in one breath. However, between the end of the Tekeah and the Trua, says Rashi, there's at least a stop for a mashu, for a millisecond.
What's the difference?
What the difference is, here there's no hafsaka whatsoever. It's straight from the Tekeah into the Trua, all one blowing. Starting to do 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 do. According to the other man, the Yama, to. It's in the same neshima, but there is a hefsek. Right. Okay. Good. Zog is Kenavasi. It's the second one of Tekeah Umeiria, Tekeah Neshima Achas. That was Rav Asi Mihutzel. Rav Asi Mihutzel in his own town, Kishmaitzi, he feared Ein that that's, yes, that that's how you should do it, a Tekeah Umeiria Beneshima Achas. Frank Timur Meisvei, our case, Yom Tishchol Yos Be'er of Shabbos, Toikit V'Loimirian. My love, Loimiri and Klal, no true whatsoever. That's Shver later Behuda, it's Shver and Rabbi Yehuda and on Rav Asi Mihutzel. Every morning, Loi, Rabbi Yehuda Mitar Satam, Rav Asi Mitar Satam, Rabbi Yehuda Mitar Satam, Loimiri and Befnei Atzma, El Mitoich Tkiyat. What he meant is don't make a separate true on its own, but it's got to be a continuation from the Tkiyat without any hefsik whatsoever. Rav Asi Mitar Satam, Loi, that what meirin b'shtei neshimos, loy meirin b'shtei neshimos, on a normal, regular Friday, you would go and take a breath in between. And then you would do your truah. Here you don't take a breath in between, it's still within the same breath, but you do take at least a short hefsik of a half a second, and then you start your truah. So both of them agree at shinoi, but not a major shinoi, a kleiner shinoi. Matzah Shabbos, he said, "Bin kodesh l'kodesh." Heicha amala, where do you say it? Amrav Yehuda b'chasi masa, v'chein Rav Nach b'chasi masa. What does this mean? Everybody knows when you make avdola, you say the words amavla bin kodesh l'chol twice, right? And a regular Matzah Shabbos, bocha toh Hashem alakeinu melech olam, hamavla bin kodesh l'chol bin or l'chosh bin Yisrael amim, etc. Baruch atah Hashem, hamavla bin kodesh l'chol. Oh, so you started off a Mavli Mekodesh L'chol, and you ended off a Mavli Mekodesh L'chol. Which one do you change to a Mavli Mekodesh L'chol? It's the final one. It's the Baruch Atah Hashem, but not the original Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, a Mavli Mekodesh L'chol, that you leave intact. However, you change both of them. We do not follow his view. Well, we follow rather that you only change the final one, the Mavdul Bein Kodesh LeKodesh. What's the reason for that? We will see in the Gemara momentarily. We do not go and paskin like him LaLocha. Rashi says the reason is why? Because we do not want to in any way seem to denigrate the Kedusha of Yontif. We don't want to say, Yontif, hey, you're the Kedusha, no, both of them are Kodesh. You're right, it's not the same. It's not a capital Kif, capital Kodesh, it's a small Kuf. Fine. Ablamaisa, it's Kodesh. Don't call Kodesh a Kal, that kind of denigrates the Kedusha of the Heilige Yontif. That's why you don't pass, because it's a trash.
Yeah.
Fine.
Also, right.
That's exactly what we're going to say right now. Yeah, Shkoyach. Omrav Zeder. Yontif Shechol Liyo is Be'emte Shabbos. Now, we don't mean that Yontif fell out at 3 o'clock on Shabbos afternoon. Of course, that's impossible. We mean in the middle of the week. So you have Yontif fall down on Tuesday or Wednesday. And now you're making Havdalah at the end of Yontif. So you would think, okay, you should be talking about a Mavdol about Yontif. No, no, it's the same Havdalah that we make on Shabbos, on Matzah Shabbos. What's the reason for that? After all, talking about Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheishes Yemei HaMasa would seem to be inappropriate because we're not Mavdol Matzah Shabbos, we're doing a Matzah Yontif. My time is here, Havdolah Isu Moina, because the inyan of the Brocha Havdolah is that we're Mona, means we count out, we enumerate all the times that the Torah talks about being Mavdol Bein Kodesh L'Choil. And Rashi, in fact, brings a couple of the psukim. For instance, Bein Or L'Choishech. That's in the beginning of Bereishis. V'yavdol Akim Bein Or Vein HaChoishech. Bein Yisrael Amin. V'avdol Eschem Eno Amin Liyois Li. Bein Yoy Mashvi L'Sheis Yamasa. That's the whole union of Shabbos, where it says a person Mavdol Bein Kodesh L'Choil. So therefore, all of those have psukim, have mekodos in the Torah, and that's why we repeat it as part of this bracha of Avdolah. We thank Hashem that you've been mavdol between all of these different things, the Ar and the Choshev Yisrael, the Amen, Shabbos and Yontif. So even though it's not appropriate to talk about Yontif, Ben Yoy Meshvili Shesim Masa, but it's appropriate for Havdalah. Ah, okay, good, good. And that's, yeah, it's 1 minute, exactly. And that's the reason why we do not follow Rav Shesh Breda Avidi that says, Apsi Chosa, because the purpose of that Hamavdol Bein Kodesh L'Chol is not to go and talk about now the Havdalah today, but rather we are enumerating all the Havdalahs in the Torah. The Mavdol Bein Kodesh L'Chol, we're Mavdol between the Or and the Choshev, and the Yisrael and the Amim, and the Yom Yishu, the Sheshi and Masa. Oh, so therefore that Mavdol Bein Kodesh L'Chol remains intact. It's only the final one, Hamavdol Bein Kodesh L'Chol, where we change it from Chol to Kodesh. Hanu l'chakol shochtem, l'chakol shochtem.